The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6. Now, during those days he went out to the mountains to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. I often think if there was a pub quiz, and one of the questions the contestants were asked, would you name the 12 apostles? I think even the most committed Catholic would get caught up in Simon's and Judas's and Nathaniel and Bartholomew, and we would be stuttering and stumbling over it for quite a while. And these were the people that Jesus selected in order to found his church, like the 12 tribes of Israel. And yet we know very little about them. They disappear. Oh, legends abound, but even the strongest legend, we are doubtful about the historicity of that legend. St. James in Compostela, oh, everyone knows about that, but just how historical is it? And I find a great lesson in this, that these were the people who went out to preach the good news, and really, we don't know what happened to them. We don't know to a great extent where they went. And we are much the same. We are like the apostles. We are, in a sense, in the world sense, nobodies. And yet the Lord is depending on us. I find it hard to say anything about this feast in the light of the wonderful sermon by Cardinal John Henry Newman on the feast of St. Simon and Jude. And he recalls, and I'm quoting now, how they were unknown after their lives. And we draw an important lesson for ourselves, which, however obvious, is continually forgotten by us in the actual business of life. Namely, to do our duty without aiming at the world's praise. They indeed were not simply unknown to the world in their lifetime, but even hated and persecuted by it. And when we consider how intimately they were allowed to associate with Christ, how they were witnesses of his heavenly conversation through the days of his flesh, of his acts of mercy, of his divine words, of the grace, the tenderness, the sanctity, the majesty, the calmness which reigned within him, of his knowledge, his wisdom, his perfect love of God, his zeal for God's service, his patient obedience. To have had a smile, an encouraging word from him, was it not a privilege to treasure in memory beyond anything else? And we need to seek this praise which comes from God, that we shall not have that sensible experience of which the apostles were granted. The poorest, the oldest, the most infirm among us, those are living not merely in obscurity, but perhaps despised and forgotten. These even may obtain our Saviour's approving look and receive the future greeting, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so we carry on our duty. We carry on our work of trying to love God in our own small world. And as the apostles, history does not know them, but we thank God for the tremendous love which each one of us receives. And we pray, God, that we, like the apostles, will try to spread that good news. And so let us pray. Holy, immortal one, you have brought us to the knowledge of your name through the blessed apostles. Hear the prayers of Saint Simon and Jude, and grant that new believers may always swell the ranks of your church. And this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.